The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Father, indeed, as we ponder and as we think and see your faithfulness, it's so amazing. Jeremiah said that I remember the afflictions. I remember the gall. I well remember them all, but one thing I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It's by the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. For your compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Without it, none of us would have been here this morning. And we are so grateful and thankful for the life you gave us on earth and also for the eternal life that we have, that is our hope. Father, we are also thankful that you've blessed us with time, money, and all the resources, and we've brought some of them into your house. David said that when the people contributed to the temple, he said, we give back to you what belonged to you. And Father, this is the same thing we've done here. And now we pray that you delight in our worship here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand with me if you would again, and we're going to read responsive reading 633, Divine Providence. Responsive reading in the back of the book, 633. I will lead in the light print if you can respond in the bold. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame.
This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing.
The blind are weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord consoles the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all.
The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned. He takes refuge in him.
Remain standing and turn to hymn number 367, 367, Fill My Cup, Lord.
Seeking for things that could not satisfy, and then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from thy well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are sleeping. The pleasures earthly things afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lifted up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. So my brother, if the thing this world gives you leaves hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me
Thank you all for that. You may be seated, and Pastor Cassie will come forward with the message.
Good morning. We are so glad that you're here, or I am glad you're here, and thank God for the time we have here on Sunday morning. And it's a privilege, and I want to thank you all who visited here for the first time too. Our Pastor Ken is not here, but you love him, so you want to come Sunday, next Sunday too. just saying. So, it's a joy. I really, throughout this week, I was thinking about it, and I was praising the Lord. Either I'm driving or I'm at a church, I'm at work. Thanking God for how you've been inviting your friends and people that you know over to Calvary. It's a blessing. And I believe that's what the Lord called us to do, to reach out to those that he sent us to reach out to. And we thank God for the Stringham here this morning. It's a joy to have you all here this morning. We are going through the book of John. Title is Jesus, the Son of God. Why is he the Son of God? What did he come to do? And we are progressing. We did chapter 4 the last time I spoke, and today we're going to finish that chapter. So we're going to be looking at verse 39 through verse 54. Before we do that, let us pray. Father, thank you that we have this time together to dive together into the word. We pray that you speak to us. I'm only your messenger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we saw it last Sunday, in John chapter 4, story about a Samaritan woman. Most of the, a lot to say about her, but then a lot to say about Jesus' determination to go to Samaria and share the word of God with this woman. We also see that there was also some differences between the Hebrews and the Samaritans. That the Bible said the Hebrews don't have any dealing with the Samaritans. And also we talk about what are some of those things, or who are those people that we say we have no dealing with. And those have become like walls that we cannot reach them. And this morning we're going to talk about two main things. Jesus, the Son of God, is the healer and the Savior. Without further ado, let's look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Jesus told the people that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This woman had a lot of hidden stuff that not many people know about. And Jesus did not make a public shame of her, call all people in the town and say, "Hey, guess what? I'm the prophet. You doubt that? You wanted me to prove it to you? take this woman for instance, blah, blah, blah. This is what she did that none of you know about. No, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus went to her at the well, engaged her with a common topic. They were at the well, so they were talking about water. Jesus said, give me water. And she said, why are you asking me water at the first place? But then as Jesus used it to talk to her about, this is not about the well. I mean, that Jacob's well or the water in that well, but it's about the eternal life. Then she wants that water. That will become spring in her. But before that, there were some stuff that they have to deal with. She told Jesus the truth about the man she has been with and the one she is with that's not technically her husband. She spoke the truth. And Jesus helped her to overcome that. Now that she has been set free, in the sense that what she was hiding, what she was holding on to, Jesus exposed it and preached her the gospel of forgiveness. What happened? She was relinquished. She was free. What did she do? She ran into the town. There are so many things. You know, a lot of happening in the nation. You heard, you read in the news and you listen to it. And we all agree, both believers as non-believers, that the solution to it is the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. But then the question is, what is hindering us as believers to go out, to reach out to them? There is no way this Samaritan woman would have been running at full speed. Hey, guys, come check it out. I think I met the Savior. I met the Christ, the Messiah they were talking about. Well, before she met Jesus, I don't think she could have done that. Because she had a lot going on, a lot of secret piled up, a lot of shameful things that have created insecurity that she cannot go out there. Is that sometimes what we're dealing with? Either we know about it or we don't know about it. That there is this sense of insecurity, fear. Who am I to preach to other people? What about they discover this or that about me? And these are the things that Jesus dealt with first to set her free so that she can go to the people. And the truth is, it's not just to this Samaritan woman or any Samaritan man, but to all of us, that we need to be set free. We need to come to Jesus like she did and say, yeah, you're right, you got it. All that you said about my relationships, all of them are true. Then when she saw her desperate need of salvation, she said, give me that water, will you? You know, she desired that water. Because this is just more than a casual conversation. So that's how Jesus spiritually healed this woman, that she regained boldness, that she can now hide the word but get it out there to other people. What happened then? Verse 40. He said, when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him. Well, before I read that, the second part of the 39. And they said, Samaritans of that city believe in him because of the word of the woman, or the word that the woman testified. Now, when you come to verse 41, as a contrast, and many more believed because of his own word. There are two steps there. First step, how did the people of the town heard about Jesus? Come on, yeah. Through the woman. Through the woman, that's how they heard about it. I bet not many people knew that Jesus was in town. But through one person, Jesus reached only one. A woman at a well. Probably because of her guilt and all that. She's maybe, the Bible didn't say, but I'm saying, last time I understand it, maybe she's one of those people who don't want to associate herself with other people and just alone or lonely and it's just looked down on herself and all that. But she was the one Jesus went to. And now that woman is so bold. to go call the whole city. Forget about the well. Forget about the water. There is something here, someone here in town that is bigger than that water she needs that afternoon. Is that the same message we have? That the gospel, what Jesus did on the cross, it's just something we just can't hold just for ourselves. We cannot contain it. We got to take it out there. Even if someone in town knew her secret, she doesn't care. Jesus is here. That's all matter. Come and check it out. Come and see. And she came. So many believe because of her word. That's what John said first in 39. But then as the people now followed the woman and came to hear Jesus out, to hear Jesus himself, and they said, more. I usually don't write in my Bible. I don't know why. But other than that, I would have underlined that word, more. More believe in him. Now, not because of the woman, but because of Jesus himself. But how did they come to Jesus first? It was through her. She went out there. It's so amazing. So I was thinking about it. And Jesus reached only one person. And now we have the whole city here. Sometimes I wonder, I ask myself, Kasi Roland, do you truly understand the forgiveness of Jesus? Oh, this has become like the normal thing. Yeah, Jesus is there. I pray to him. I worship. I serve. I do my devotion. Is that all there is to it? You know, when we hear news, something amazing, we share it with the people. We can't wait to share it with other people. You know, Billy Graham, he always calls it the good news. And the way with his southern accent, he emphasizes it's so powerful. And this week was a bitter sweet for some of us. I don't know Bill Graham personally, but the effect that he had on my life, it was really great. Huge. I was 16 years old when I read his book, Avis de Tempête. That's in the French, and in English, a storm warning. And that really scared me and grabbed my heart. He wrote a lot of books, but if you see storm warning and peace with God, those are the two books that you want to read. And this week he passed away, and as I was thinking about it too, how the fundamentals really, you know, tried to tear him apart simply because he chose to preach to many people. They think he is an ecumenist or doing ecumenism, associating himself with many religious leaders. But Billy Graham knew about one thing, that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can change people's life. Nothing else. And that's what happened to the woman here. But she has become the herald of the gospel, took it to the people. She didn't go there to show off herself and make it like it's all about her. She said, I met a man, someone who told me all that I have ever did. And so the people came. So when they came, they hear Jesus. Another thing that we see in here is that as John talked about times Jesus spoke to crowd, he also write down when Jesus talked to people one-on-one. The evangelism is known only when we have a crowd or when it's done from behind this wooden thing. When we spend time, quality time with friends, some people who are still struggling to find out their way to Jesus and share that word with them, it does count. That's what the Lord is teaching us here. He doesn't preach always to 5,000 people. But even one Samaritan woman, through her, we see the whole city round up and came to discover that Jesus, verse 42, the end, that the Christ is the Savior of the world. John did not tell us exactly the word or the message Jesus preached to them. But from what the people have discovered about Jesus, then we can say that he preached them the gospel. Why he came on earth? What was his mission? Verse 43. Now, after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. And I'll read it to 45. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So, when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at a feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus is saying here that a prophet has no honor in his own country. I think I've experienced this many times. Anytime I go to Togo, I try to go to the town where I was born to share the word of God with the people, and they think it's a joke. And I just don't know why, what it's doing. Maybe because, you know, they see you growing up, or, you know, that little boy you were running around. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But then they are so antagonistic about it. But there are other areas when I go to share the word of God with the people, they are so thirsty. Some part of Togo, they just want more. The trip that we're going, they wanted me to do this seminar for pastor for 3 days, and I told them I can't. Only 2 days. Other pastors, 40 of them in the south, they want the same thing. I said, I can give only Saturday. How come that the people, our only people in your town, you try to reach out them and they don't want to? I don't know. But one thing that I know, then he gave us opportunity to go to elsewhere, share the word of God with other people. So Jesus knew that, you know, spending his time in his hometown, not that he never did, but it's not going to yield a more fruit. He used that opportunity to preach the gospel to other people. In fact, somewhere in the gospel, he told the people that there are other people also who must hear the word. People don't like you sharing the word of God in your town, in your neighborhood. Well, we got fun like here. You can come and share it. Another thing that we're looking into the last part of verse 45 is that people have been closely watching Jesus, what he has been doing. And so when they hear that, you know, he was there, they came. Now, some of them, that is segue into 46, some of them did not necessarily come because they necessarily thirsty of the words, but because they've heard about miracles. Jesus did a lot. And they've come. They wouldn't believe till they see miracles. I believe that was even the rebuke he was giving them. Because in verse 48, he told them, then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And that's the greatest challenge too we have in today. It's not just in the U.S., in Africa. You know, the more people get educated, the more they want evidences. And they say, why do you want me to believe something I can't see, I can't feel, I can't touch? Does that even make any rational sense in your mind? And Jesus, I believe Jesus already gave them the signs. So even if people would have come and do miracle, even if Moses would have reason up, there are still people at that time that wouldn't still believe. People champion the fact that they are so knowledgeable, atheists, that they can debate anybody in front of any camera. And they loved it. And they still love it. And they mock us sometimes, like, what miracles? You know, show me something. They said the disciple of Jesus Christ did that and did that. Can you do something too? Can you show me something too? But Jesus knew the heart of man. They wouldn't believe till they see miracle. But you know, even in this, I still see the compassion of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of going ahead of myself here, because though he knew that they wouldn't believe till they see miracle, right there was a noble man that came and said, my son, you know, is sick. Jesus would have argued with him, okay, you're here too because of miracle, because I can heal your son before you believe. He did not say that. He said, your son lives. He didn't come here just to judge us. That wasn't his mission on earth. He came to save that who is lost, that through him we will truly know God and have a relationship with God. And Apostle Paul said that's the message, even the mission of a reconciliation that God gave us as Christ's ambassadors. We preach that gospel, that people will be reconciled with God. In verse 50, he said to the man, "Go. Go your way. Your son live." The man went away. And so when he came home, the people realized that indeed, actually didn't get home. They met him on the way and said, you know, the fever left him. Now, see what he did. He wanted to know if this is from Jesus or is it just a random thing. So he asked them about the time that this happened. And when they told him, he remembered that was exactly the same time Jesus said, "Your son lives." What is my point out there? Do you keep track of what God is doing in your life? Do you keep record? So we don't. So we don't know. It's just like someone, you know, we don't count our receipt. So whether we've been given wrong change or not, because we don't count it, and we don't know. In fact, to confess, I have to deal with a situation like this week. It's really painful. Like us, you got to keep track. You got to write them down. And I'm looking for this folder. Can't find it. This guy was keeping track. He kept track. You know, wait, tell me, when exactly, what was the time? Then he knew it was Jesus. Unless we keep record of the Lord, those daily little miracles he does in our lives, if we don't, then we don't really experience the joy. We don't even know when he answered some of the prayers we've been asking or requests we have. This guy, he didn't do that. He was tracking. Telling him that his son lives is just not enough for him. He wanted to know the exact time that happened. Verse 43, he believed. Now the Bible says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son live." And he himself believed in his whole house. Are you seeing something that I'm seeing? This is the second time it was one person, and after the one person, we have more people. The Samaritan woman, one person, and after her, the whole people of the city. Now, a noble man who came because his son is sick, dying, and after him, his whole house. It's just so clear. It stands out in the text that we don't have to have a crowd to share the gospel. Verse 54, this again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Like I was saying it before, Jesus knew that, you know, unless they see miracles, they won't believe. But did he cease to do miracles? He did not. Jesus is a man of joy and a man of compassion. He knows our needs. He knows our stubbornness. He knows our pride. He knows our struggles. And yet, he's still coming to us to help. And again, as I'm trying to signal it more, is one basis, and then from one person, it goes to many people. I bet in May 1938, when Dr. Mordecai Ham preached the gospel to Billy Graham, little he knew that later on he would reach 210 million people. Wow. Billy Graham and what was the name? I believe it's a Gary Wilson. Gary was the one that his dad hired to help Billy Graham to do work in a farm. And then they were hearing about Dr. Ham, you know, revival thing, and they went. And in fact, the record said that Edward Ham, I believe his son, you know, wrote an article in October 2009 that when they went first, they left their seat and they sit in a choir. And because they said everything Dr. Ham was saying was just pointed at them. So they don't want to be there and hearing it, so they sit in a choir, though they can, you know, really sing just to avoid the ping, you know, the fact that the preacher was, they think, was directing the message to them. He wrestled with it. But As much as people would disagree with his way of leadership or theology, I can tell you many people have come to Christ. Many people have been reconciled with God. It started with him. Last Sunday, I was really, it was a joy for me to meet someone that Ed brought here that led him to the Lord. What, 40 years ago?
47.
You see, and little that he knew that Ed will know the Lord and bring many people to the Lord. Always one person. Maybe some of us wouldn't be that Billy Graham. I believe everybody is unique. But God gave us all gifts. And he has equipped us as his disciples to go out there and reach others for him. Someone brought me to faith, little that he knew, that my love for God will grow. So as Jesus went to this Samaritan woman, though as a Jew he had no dealing with her, as Jesus went to, or this man came to him for his son to be healed, though Jesus had no obligation whatsoever to heal his son, but through her, a whole city came to hear, and more believed. Through him, he believed, and his whole house came to believe. Shall we follow that example? And ask the Lord to give us boldness and a strength, even if it's a one-on-one. Share the gospel, the good news, with people. And to believe the Lord that he had set us free. The guilt, the shame, all that Satan keeps rehearsing in your head, in your ear, that you are not cut to do this. Or make you have that insecurity all day long. It's his trick, a Satan trick. You know, insecurity built around you, self-centeredness. It's because you try to protect everything. You just can't think about anybody else but yourself because you're so insecure. But then when Jesus set her free, she knew that this is not about me. It's all about God. It's all about that man I met at the well. Come and see it. And that's my prayer for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we praise you for this word we can read and practically relate to them. And we pray that you help us to follow your example. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.